This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, C-File, Ron's Electric Motors, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, Wendy's, the Digital Transformation Unit, and J.S. Johnson. The Revolution with...
Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are today going to talk about the audit of the Ministry of Health's Ministry of Tourism's Bahamas Travel Health Visa Program. All right. And the Auditor General found some things that I find alarming, certainly, that occurred with the program just in terms of checks and balances. So we'll go through it. Now, a lot of this, all of it, happened during emergency orders. I'd be interested to see what role that played in how a lot of these checks and balances were circumvented. Also, the Ministry of Tourism has certain guidelines that it follows under the Promotion of Tourism Act that might be interpreted as not having to follow certain tenets of the Financial Administration and Audit Act, but I don't believe that's purely the case, or that's overall or chiefly the case. So we're going to look at what was said by the Auditor General, and then see if we can better understand what's going on. Now, I'll say this. I never understood the need for a travel health visa, okay? If a country as large as the United States of America can police its borders with regard to COVID without a travel health visa, then I don't see why we could not simply have monitored test results and let that be sufficient. But we embarked on Bahamas travel health visa program. So having said that, I don't see why it was necessary. I'll say that at the end of the day, I think it's a positive development in terms of, from what I gather from the Ministry of Health, it allows them to better track tourist information that they normally would have to try to glean from immigration forms, et cetera, or voluntary forms that people may or may not fill out. So it's allowed us to have a level of information that we didn't have before. And it's also provided another revenue stream for the country that people don't seem to mind paying. So as long as that doesn't make our country less desirable compared to other destinations, then I don't have a problem with it per se. What I have an issue with would be some of the things the Auditor General raised, okay? So there's no travel health visa to get in Jamaica, as far as I know. There's no travel health visa to get into Barbados or Turks, as far as I'm aware. DR, all right? there were certain restrictions, there were certain border closures, but most of that stuff was dealt with through testing, all right? Test results. They had people were experimenting with different things. You know, someone said, oh, you got to go to this facility and stay on your hotel and stay in your bubble and all this. People were making it up as they went along because everyone was, you know, scared and pooping their pants. And, you know, I understand that happens. You do, in an emergency situation, you do kind of go, oh, well, we don't know. But this started in November of 2020. So we knew about COVID-19 from at least January of 2020. It didn't hit the Bahamas till March of 2020. So from March to November, the sense of panic I no longer get. The sense of by any means necessary, the sense of any means that are undertaken justifies the end. From March to November, I don't get. So I don't get that. If you're going to give me the argument, well, nobody knew what was going on. We had to go and we had to make it happen. The first thing is you set the date for the reopening of the country. Remember, first it was July, and you didn't have testing at all, all right? So, and then it was, or testing for the Americans, and then that blew up in our face, and Delta hit us pretty hard, and then it was November, all right? So you set the date. So to say that there's a sense of we had to do whatever was necessary, circumvent whatever rules are in place for the normal fiduciary requirements to meet the oversight responsibility the parliament has over the executive, I don't get that argument. And here's the problem with your Emergency Powers Act, right? You see what's happening in Canada, bro? Justin Trudeau's flipped out, man. He's got... They're like seizing people's bank accounts now without any sort of probable cause or due process. It's crazy. Anyway, this is the issue with the Emergency Powers Act and your willingness to surrender this power to, say, a competent authority. Right? It's that the function that you have to legislate, to have oversight of the executive, particularly with regard to how our money is spent. Let me slow down here. Particularly with regard to how our money is spent, cannot be overstated. The role you play in that. I'm going to break it back down for you again. Our money. Not the Ministry of Tourism's money. Not the Ministry of Aviation's money. Not the Cabinet of the Bahamas' money. Not the House of Assembly's money, not the Governor General or the Queen's money, our money. The money that tourism spends, that's as a result of our investment of tax dollars and borrowed money into the Ministry of Tourism. That they have the health visa that still generates revenue, even though y'all did say y'all were going to cancel it, right? Even though that exists and that's a revenue generator, that's our money. That's our money. That doesn't belong to the Ministry of Tourism. All of that is our money. So when we're talking about all this money, we're not talking about monopoly money. We're not talking about make-believe money. We're not talking about Diagler's money or Minnis's money or Philip Davis's money. We're talking about all our collective money. All right? If you don't want nobody watch your money, that's on you. And if anybody does whatever they would like with your money and you don't have a problem with it, good for you. Me, I'm going to need to watch my money. And I'm going to watch the people who are watching my money. I need my money watched, right? I need my money. I need to know how much money we're getting, how much money we're borrowing. It's how closely I want to watch the money. I want to watch how much money you're trying to spend. I want to watch how you spend the money. And I want someone watching the people who spend the money that Parliament approves to be borrowed or appropriated. Okay? And then I can watch him. So The parliament, the executive requests the money. The parliament approves the money. The executive spends the money. The auditor general, which is a constitutionally appointed post, watches how our money is spent. So don't get mad at the auditor general. Don't get mad that we're watching our money. I don't hear no slick talk about, oh, well, it eventually happened. I don't even want to hear all that. I need my money watched. So here's what we found while we were watching our money. I'm going to read the article for you. And we're going to hear from the Prime Minister too, who's weighed in. But I'm going to read this for you. Now, before I read this, let me say this. Even though a lot of this stuff is wild that is in the Auditor General's report, I'm not saying that anyone is a thief or anyone is corrupt or XYZ. I'm not saying that. I'm just noting what the Auditor General found, and we're going to go from there. All right? So your impulse to talk about whatever you want to, however you want to frame it, curb that, and let's just talk about it with sober minds and try to understand where we are, all right? Because sometimes you don't need to sensationalize anything. Sometimes just what is found is enough just to say what the findings are, all right? Okay, this Ken Diadames wrote this article. It says, government broke law. That's the headline. Multiple violations of law in award of health travel visa contracts. The Auditor General's report into the Ministry of Tourism's Bahamas Travel Health Visa Program reveals that government officials violated the law and ignored certain best practices, and private service providers commenced their services with only verbal contracts in place. Okay. So the audit reveals that government officials violated the law and ignored certain best practices, and private service providers commenced their services with only verbal contracts in place. Okay. It says, in the case of Canoe, which executed payments to all vendors monthly based on instructions received from the Ministry of Tourism, there was never any contract officially executed, according to the report tabled in the House of Assembly yesterday. So Canoe didn't have a written contract, okay, an executed contract with the Ministry of Tourism, but it executed payments to vendors based on instructions received from the Ministry of Tourism. Okay. Now, I'm going to say this. If private businesses feel comfortable collecting payment and distributing payment on behalf of the government without a contract, that's something for the shareholders and the principals of that private business to examine. Because I'm not doing anything for anyone, particularly as it regards to collecting and distributing money without a contract. Let me see if I can help you understand how serious this is. I'm not going to come on Guardian Radio and host a talk show without a written contract that's been signed by both parties. I'm not going to hire someone to read our morning news without some form of contract. That will either be an employment contract or a contract for part-time services, but we're going to have a contract, all right? The guy who owns the company that does my landscaping, I use landscaping very generously considering the size of my property. The guy who owns the company that does my landscaping, he doesn't come and do that without a contract, all right? So we're talking tens of millions of dollars here that, according to the Auditor General's report, was flowing in through a private company and back out through a private company without a contract. Now, that's something for the principals and shareholders of that company to examine if they're following their own best practices by doing that without a contract. Because particularly when it gets to money, things get squirrely, right? So that's why only in the rarest of circumstances will I deal with anyone's money. Because I don't want no mix-up at the end of the day. I don't want no he said, she said. I'm not interested in dealing with the money. Now, they're in particular dealing with the money. To do that without a contract with a private company, I would ask some questions internally about that. Maybe they had a contract, but the Auditor General just didn't have it. That's possible, too. Now, there is no circumstance under which the Ministry of Tourism, in my opinion, no matter what the Promotion of Tourism Act details, and we'll go through it, there is no circumstance under which the Ministry of Tourism should have a private company collect money and pay back out money without a very specifically detailed contract. How do they get paid? How do they get paid without a contract? Like, I'm curious. Like, without a contract, how does Canoe know how much to collect and who to pay and what they should be getting out of that money? I find it very difficult to believe Canoe didn't have a contract. Perhaps the Auditor General couldn't find the contract. I find that very difficult to believe. I will ask Canoe about that. This is Auditor General Terrence Bastian concluded that contracts for the Travel Health Visa Initiative were not executed in accordance with the Financial Regulations 1975, Section 2158, which states all awards of contracts for suppliers, works, and services required by the government in excess of $250,000 shall be made by Cabinet. No competitive bidding was pursued, and, quote, the said services commenced initially with only a verbal agreement. The report added the signed contractual agreements were executed several weeks, months later. Okay, so some of them, so I guess everyone, they could find contracts for everyone except Canoe, but they had started the work without actually having a signed contract, which is also a problem. It says, management and the Ministry of Tourism acknowledge the lack of competitive bidding and the failure to execute contracts prior to the launch of the visa. Quote, however, management strongly believe that there was simply insufficient time to develop a request for a proposal, receive bids, and negotiate contracts in the designated time frame. Okay. So this goes back to my question. You had from March, when the border closed, until November 1, when the Travel Health Visa program launched. What time frame are we talking about that was insufficient to develop this? A. B. In the course of deliberations and consideration about launching this program, if you didn't feel you had sufficient time to follow procedure, do you not reconsider launching it? Because, again, I don't mind the visa program. It's bringing in some money and helping them track tourists better, but you had to have it to launch? I don't know that you did. I think that's a judgment call. I don't think that that's something that requires you to circumvent the rules. Okay. The Auditor General also, so when did they think this up? Was it October, like October 1? And they were like, well, we got 30 days and that's it. You know what I mean? This says, the Auditor General also observed initial documentation contracts received for audit inspection were in some cases, not completely executed. But management subsequently did submit fully executed contracts, no documented contract was officially executed with Canoe. You know the thing about this? It says so later on in the thing. But Canute was one of the companies that made the least amount of money off of it. But they said they couldn't find a contract for Canute. CG Atlantic made a killing, dude, from what I can see. This says the Auditor General was informed that 5 days before the country was scheduled to reopen in November 2020, the health travel visa program lacked a payment gateway. Canute was brought in to provide this service. Canute partnered with BOB, Bank of the Bahamas' credit card facility. The Ministry of Tourism opened a bank account with BOB. Ministry of Tourism opened a bank account with BOB. That sounds like that's fine. Ministry of Tourism, I surmise, would have bank accounts around the world because they have offices and personnel stationed around the world. Yeah? Okay. It says the health visa online platform was implemented in November 2020. Let's stick a pin in this. Let's stick a pin right here. The health travel visa online platform was implemented in November 2020. All right, so I got more questions. So let me understand. Why is the Ministry of Tourism responsible for the health visa for entry into the country? Should it be the Ministry of Aviation that deals with that, or should it be the Ministry of Health that deals with that? By the way, this is new stuff. Health visa, right? This is a kind of a new concept we're dealing with. So I get that there's a lot of, you're not sure. Is the Ministry of Tourism the right person to facilitate that? The right entity to facilitate that? The health travel visa? I suppose aviation, but I would think health would do so. Like the Ministry of Tourism doesn't facilitate your immigration forms or your customs forms. They like give you like the little card to fill out, but they're not, the customs officers are doing that. There's no one in a, sitting in front of a desk of the Ministry of Tourism checking your immigration status or your customs. I'm pretty sure there's not anyway. So should the Ministry of Tourism even be doing the health visa is a pertinent question I would ask. This says the Ministry of Tourism engaged CG Atlantic Insurance to provide travel insurance for visitors. Again, I don't know that any of that was necessary. It says it engaged Ports International to provide rapid antigen tests for day 5 testing. Don't know that that was necessary either. It engaged Alpha Tango to manage the 120-plus approved testing labs and the day 5 tests. I don't know about the day 5 test, but anyway, again, testing labs, sure. It engaged Carib Pay Bahamas Limited, which is Canute, to execute payments to all vendors monthly. Okay. And BOB facilitated credit card payments. You know, I'll say this. Despite the lack of documentation and contracts, it seemed like a pretty well-organized venture. Not a completely transparent one, but it did work. They processed like almost a million visitors, right? It says the Auditor General found that the Department of Transformation and Digitization, DTAD, was initially engaged and started the software program developed in July 2020. But due to logistical considerations, especially DTAD's shortage of programmers available at the time, and the pressure placed on the Ministry of Tourism to get the platform up and running, the ministry engaged Think Simple to complete the engagement. We were informed that Think Simple and Alpha Tango Media were introduced by the former Minister of Tourism and Aviation, the Auditor General's report stated. We were further informed that the private sector providers were able to do everything needed. There were no written contracts, only verbal contracts. Again, I got a problem with that. I don't like our money being spent without proper contractual guidelines in place. It makes me uncomfortable. Okay? We operate by contract, We don't operate by word of mouth. Verbal contract, that sound like something from, you know, the 17th century. I know lawyer. And I know you could make a verbal contract. I know how much that'll hold up when lawsuit day come. This says, we iterate that there were no documented agreements in place for the services to be provided on behalf of the government of the Bahamas. Negotiations of contracts did not begin until February, March 2021. We were informed that it was at this time the recommendations were made to the lawyer in-house legal counsel. I guess say this. Don't be mad at me. These companies that went by faith facilitating services for the government and collecting money on behalf of the government just by word of mouth or email or whatever it is. I don't know, man. I don't know that I want you running my company like that. I'll be real with you. Not to the tune of $30+ million. I'll just be real with you. Can I have a verbal contract with the government? You see the problem with a verbal contract, right? Is that I could come back and say, verbally, these were the terms we discussed. And then the minister could come back and say, no, they weren't. Okay? And nobody recorded the conversation. It's your word against mine. And at the end of the day, if I'm the company, I have no way to force you to pay me because I have nothing that's executed that we could actually go to court over. It's just you said. So my verbal contract is... They told me I could have the Paradise Island Bridge, the Sydney Poitier Bridge, I was told by the former Prime Minister Christie that I could have that as of July 1, 2021, and all proceeds collected on behalf of the Bridge Authority. We had a verbal contract, and so I'd like my money and my bridge. By the way, since I now own the bridge, because the Prime Minister verbally told me I could have it, bridge tolls $10 a car now. I got a problem with this. This is not I have a problem with a company. If it's my company, I'm going to say we're not doing anything verbally. We're doing it with contract. But I guess y'all started in November, and then you went to March. I guess, you know. I don't know. I wouldn't have done it like that. I knew I'd want the money because it was a good amount of money. This says the Auditor General also said management of the Ministry of Tourism admitted that at least one contract they signed with vendors was not subjected to the tendering bidding process. It says accordingly, we obtained documentary evidence from management saying that the contract with the insurance provided by CG Atlantic did not go through the bidding process. By complying with the financial regulations, the Auditor General said, no competing bidding process was pursued and the said services commenced with only a verbal agreement. Management said the decisions were based in the interest of time limitations. Now, it says, however, the Auditor General recommended that material commitments such as this one should still go through the procurement process and be approved by the Cabinet. The Auditor General noted that COVID-19 necessitated some realities that are not reflected in the financial regulations. And I'm going to stick a pin in it right here, right? So I'm tired. All right, let me finish this. The Ministry of Tourism failed to comply. The Auditor General said, quote, the Ministry of Tourism failed to comply with the regulatory requirements for the procurement of goods and services. Seeking competitive bids is a mechanism intended to provide some assurances as to the reasonableness of costs of goods and services. Considering the cost of the travel insurance to CG Atlantic of $16,782,875 net of value-added tax, representing 48.7% of total revenue, it would have been prudent to test the marketplace by seeking at least one other quote, despite the pressing time limitations. Okay, so again, here we go. Time limitations, right? Time limitations. Let's see. The COVID-19 necessitated some realities. Which realities did COVID-19 necessitate? Because this is irritating me, okay? After 2 years now, all right? So every Jesus thing is up for grabs in the air because you say there's an emergency that's going to kill everybody that didn't kill everybody. Every Jesus thing is up in the air. Because let me go back. We started this emergency power gig, right? I got it. I was going to give you a few weeks with it. We started this emergency power talk and rigmarole. Because why? First, it was, we don't want the healthcare facilities to become overwhelmed, people to get overburdened, and then we can't get services and X, Y, Z. Well, that happened anyway. All right? You close schools. You shut thousands of businesses. All right? You change legally binding contracts, the nature of contracts. You ordered people to stay home. You arrested them before they could come outside of their house. I'm so tired of COVID-19 being used for everybody to circumvent the rules. Right? There's new rules in place with the emergency order. So I leave my yard, I get locked up. But ministries can forget the Financial Audit and Administration Act. By the way, we're still not fully clear on where all the money for the IMF special rights drawing, special drawing rights loan went. All right? I'm not. I saw lists of people. I don't know beneficial owners. I didn't get all the amounts. I'm not. We're going to talk more about this. I'm tired of COVID-19 being used for anyone in power to do whatever the hell they want. And when you come back, you just go, COVID-19. It was COVID-19. In November, it was COVID-19 too. By then, you didn't have a handle on what it was or wasn't. We'll go to a break. We'll come back.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or a crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. I ain't doing no work for the government without no written contract. I might as well brief you. Have me emailed. Stop them. All the government, we're going to have something solid. It ain't going to work. I might as well brief you. Okay, so we still ain't finished the story. All right, let's keep going. Or you want me to do some of your stuff? Okay, so, yeah, well, that's fine. I'll answer some of your questions. Now, what does it say? This says, hi, Juan, is there any way you can reconcile the headlines today in the Tribune and the Guardian on page one relating to the Auditor General's report on travel visas? Me reconcile? No, I don't know what the Tribune dealing with. I might as well tell you. I don't understand how they got that out of what we read, that it was some huge stamp of approval. I don't know what the Tribune dealing with. They're going to have to reconcile that for you. Because you heard what I just read, right? I have the report in front of me. So I don't see, and the Tribune is the only media organization in this country that actually looked at that, and that's what they came away with as the most important thing that came out of that report. Not that the Ministry of Tourism didn't follow checks and balances, and we're talking about tens of millions of dollars, but that what did Neil's report say? I think Neil's report was even wilder. It said it leaves the PLP without ammunition. Who the hell cares if the PLP has ammunition to fire at the former minister? Who on God's green earth, outside of people who are purely looking at political consideration, gives a brass farthing if the Auditor General left the PLP with ammunition to fire at the former minister's administration or not? I don't care if it was the PLP or the FNM. I don't give a damn. Let me go back to what I said earlier. It's our money. Not ammunition to fire at the Minnesota administration or the PLP. It's our tax dollars. All you who called C.A. Nuri talking about minimum wage and you can't afford food, these are our tax dollars, not political ammunition. That politicians want to use it to throw blows at each other is immaterial to the fact that we need to make sure our money is spent properly and accounted for properly. So I can't reconcile for you nothing the Tribune said. I can tell you what was in the report. Ammunition to fire. I don't know how you sit and write that. I'll be real with you. This says, Juan, I'm in total agreement that the travel visa served the country overall in a positive way. Now, what bothers me is how the government can say it was an oversight to grant Mr. Kelly a state funeral. He was a former cabinet minister. That's automatic. Is it because he was a UBP turned FNM? Shameful. Now, let me show you something now, right? Since we just talked about PLP and FNM. We're going to have to stop one day picking and choosing who we want to honor and who we want to dismiss having made a contribution to this country. Was Godfrey Kelly a part of the UBP? Yeah, that's undeniable. All right? But at the same time, we just can pick who we rate or don't rate, all right, based on what political party they were affiliated with. You understand? It ain't gonna work like that. Now, just like how it was an oversight with Godfrey Kelly, and then I guess the talks was oversight with Darryl Roll when he was buried, there's a lot of oversights y'all make of people who served in cabinet, all right? The cabinet minister should get the state funeral. Darryl Roll didn't get it, all right? And Godfrey Kelly didn't get it. And I don't know why it has to be like that. Somebody need to be paying attention. This says, one, I agree with Justin Trudeau 100%. These anti-vax truckers are shutting down the Canadian economy. I don't blame the PM. Arrest them and freeze the accounts funding them. Well, that's fine, right? I don't really care about the truckers so per se, right? What I care about is you wielding this power, and only you get to say how far you go with it. That's what I care about. I got a problem with that all over the world. This says, I hope they aren't playing politics to squeeze in no foreign rejects. Agriculture director been acting for years. So why is there an ad for an agriculture director when there's an acting director to become director who's well capable of doing the job? I have no idea what you're talking about. I'll be real with you. I don't even have the energy to go look it up. It says, wanted to thank the former minister of tourism as a CPA, and he should be familiar with general accounting practices. But here's the thing, too, and I can understand a lot of Diagler's mindset, okay? Because the Ministry of Tourism was acting under Diagler's direction. And here's the issue, what happens. People from the private sector, they're used to operating in a particular way. So private sector is, I want to get it done. I know where this private sector thing come from, where you don't have contracts in place, but the private sector mindset, the Agler come from, I want to get it done, all right? Superwash needed washing machines fix. I ain't trying to bid to see. I want the washing machine fix, all right? Period. And that's when you come from that corporate mindset, that's where you're at. Like Jesse Cooper is an owner of BAF. He want to get it done. Well, actually, he in tourism now, so he probably could have more flexibility than the normal cabinet minister would. But when you're in government, you have to subject yourself to these controls and these bureaucracies, and it often drives people who are used to this business mindset, this corporate mindset, get it done, get it done, get it done. It drives them crazy because you got a permanent secretary sitting there going, no, it don't go like that. And this fella got to sign it, and that fella got to sign it. Remember Dwayne Sands? Like, I'll never forget when he had all the nurses freaking out on him. He's a minister, right, of health, and he had to, like, go to like several different people's offices and stand over them to have them sign off on it. That's what the nurses were freaking out on him about, because someone didn't get to that particular paper to sign off on and sent to the next person to sign off on. It'll drive you crazy. We got to go to a break. Sure, let's go to a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Before we go any further, I want to say shout out to Mr. Foxy, a.k.a. Giant, the washer and dryer man from the Almond Tree Bar. They say it's his birthday today. Almond Tree Bar is cooking up curry today. Kobe's chefing it up. Go get the curry. It's awesome. I've had it. But shout out to Mr. Foxy, Giant Washer and Dryer Man. You can find him at the Almond Tree Bar. He can help you out with your washer and dryer needs. And shout out to everyone at the Almond Tree. Hope you guys are having a great day. All right. We were talking about the audit into the Ministry of Tourism. Now, let me restate again. Before you get excited, right? Whoever. And it does appear that the Ministry of Tourism broke the Financial Audit and Administration Act, violated the Financial Audit and Administration Act. All right, it appears that way. I don't know that the Promotion of Tourism Act provides them cover from the Financial Audit and Administration Act, but I'm not saying anybody stole anything. I'm not saying anybody, because all the money eventually was squared away, except for a small discrepancy of the revenue. I'm not saying anybody stole anything. I'm not calling anybody corrupt. I'm not saying anybody's a thief or none of this stuff like that. I'm just describing what the Auditor General said. And from what we can see, it just doesn't seem like best practices were followed by the Ministry of Tourism. Okay? None of these companies have been said to have been involved in any wrongdoing. It was a legitimate exercise. It just was not done according to the rules that the Auditor General follows or looks for, okay? That's what it appears to be. I'm not saying they did anything wrong. Nobody was involved in corruption. Remember, the people call it a corrupt scheme? I'm not saying, and I blasted them at the time. I was like, that doesn't make sense. You don't call people corrupt. CG Atlantic Canoe has got 500,000 mobile wallets or whatever. They're not trying to get involved in any corruption, right? They're trying to make legit money, right? Because you make legit money, they can't take it from you. Okay? That's what they're in legitimate business. And the government is a legitimate entity. It don't get no more legitimate than that. And so I'm doing business with the government, which is completely legal. All right, so I don't want you guys to smear anybody. I'm just reading what was tabled in Parliament by the Auditor General. Fine, that's what the Auditor General is there for. All right? He's not suggesting any fraud took place. He's just suggesting that you have to have tighter checks and balances, even if you're under this quote-unquote emergency, right? Because you set the date. That you set the date as the Ministry of Tourism, and then you go, oh, the date's coming up close, we got to vote. Then set a different date. You didn't have to have the travel health visa right then, unless I'm missing something. This wasn't an IATA requirement, was it? Or a TSA requirement, something that was out of your hands, or an FAA requirement? This was a self-imposed deadline. To the extent that you can't meet it following all the rules, as the government, perhaps you should re-examine your deadline. So, again, I'm not calling anybody corrupt. I'm not saying anybody stole anything. I'm not saying anybody did any fraud or did anything wrong, because the Auditor General says the money was accounted for, right? Sometimes it was a delay in processing and pushing the payment through, but the money was accounted for, all right? You could argue, did you need a travel health visa? You could make that argument, but certainly nothing in the Auditor General report suggests any sort of misfeasance, all right? So don't do that. These are legitimate companies, and I'm not talking, at least let me say, I know, anyway, some of these company names I don't know. I know CG Atlantic. I know Canoe. I think I know Think Simple. All right? So these are legitimate companies. They're trying to make legit money. Now, if I own the company, if I run the company, do I commence work without a contract? No, I'm not. That's just me. All right? But we got to follow some better guidelines and some better rules. And I'll say this. I commend the launch of the health visa program. It had a couple of hiccups. Remember the first couple of days, they had a problem with the payment processing, and they fixed it on the Ministry of Tourism's end and on Canoe's end, and it went smoothly. They processed 1 million health visas, right? It would have been over 1 million by this point. And for the most part, it went really smooth. So I commend them with doing something like that that most countries in the world weren't doing. And we made it happen in the Bahamas. And I think that's good. You just got to make sure you're following your rules so you can make sure ain't no looseness, you know what I'm saying, in terms of getting the money from point A to point B to point C like this. Not saying anyone trying to do any darkness, but you can only manage what you can watch. You know what I mean? We'll do some more of your things. So I see D'Aguilar bragging about how much money the health visa made. Yeah, the health visa made like at least $10 million profit. One, the health visa cost many Bahamians so much pain and suffering just to return home. There's no money worth that. D'Aguilar would never know what the average Bahamian go through because he was born with a gold spoon in his mouth. I wouldn't be too sure about that D'Aguilar doesn't know what the average Bahamian goes through. I'll say this. I never thought that the health visa should apply to Bahamians, or at least Bahamians should never have been charged. That's me. Being a Bahamian should count for something in the Bahamas. You know what I mean? When I'm coming back onto the Bahamas, outside of my passport, being a Bahamian should count for something. Like, I should get rated higher than you because I'm a Bahamian, which you do. When you come home, there's the line for Bahamians and residents. That's it. They don't give you no slap up. They don't give me no slap up because I'm light skinned, I guess. I don't know. They don't give me no problems. They'd be like, welcome home. And that's it. This says, McCartney, we sent you to pin Clint. How could you be in media and miss the info on the agriculture director? Do your investigation and report to the people before the week is out. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm not the repository of all goings on in the Bahamas. I'll catch up. I'll go look into the agriculture director. Oh, we got a phone call? Sure. All right. So I'm going to finish reading the story, but from this we understand that too much was taken for granted by the Ministry of Tourism. Under the direction of the minister, D'Aguilar, you know we cool. You know that. You know I gave you a B a couple of times I rated you guys. And I thought you were a good minister of tourism. And that you made this happen is testament that you're a good minister of tourism. But you shouldn't make it happen at the expense of following the rules. That's just me. Because I got to follow the rules. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Erin Cole. Good afternoon to your listeners, Orton, and your producer. McCartney, tell me something. This Canoe company still doing business for the Bahamas government?
Which one? Canoe?
Yeah, the Canoe. That's the one where you say the auditor could not find a contract.
The Ministry of Tourism couldn't find a contract.
I mean, the Ministry of Tourism, the auditor.
They couldn't produce a contract for the auditor. When the auditor asked for the contract,
sir,
they couldn't produce one.
That's Canoe, right?
That's Canoe, yeah.
Yeah, they're still doing business for the Bahamas government right now?
I have no idea.
That's a good thing to check out. Then this Atlantic thing you mentioned earlier, before you said you know that group right there.
Yeah, it's a massive insurance company.
They make a big lump sum of the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they need public information for you to tell us who that crew is.
I don't know who owns it. I just know it's a legitimate company.
Huh?
I don't know who the owner is. I just know it's a legitimate company.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
we've done business with them.
tell me something, Canoe, although they say they couldn't sign, produce a contract for the auditors, right? They would get, they get all their money, what they're supposed to get, right?
No, they say the Ministry of Tourism couldn't find a contract. I don't see anyone ask Canoe for a contract.
Oh, okay, listen, yeah. So
Canoe might have a contract.
Yeah, but the work, what they do, they get paid for it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're saying the auditors, the tourism couldn't, they did not produce when the auditors asked for the contract, right?
Correct.
Well, the same thing by Roads, Beach, and Park, whilst they was doing the audit. Mm-hmm. Some of the persons who were sent to work from RAN in July and June, they couldn't find the contract in spite of the former persons who were sitting along with the former chairman of Beach and Parks, identify them and say, yes, we send them to work. They were sent away, telling them that the new administration couldn't pay them because they couldn't find no contract, but they already did the work. So what do you think should happen in that situation? Like, how can you get all their money, although when the auditors asked for the contract, tourism couldn't produce it? You think these people should get paid also? I'll hang up on this in time.
Sure. I think you're making a false equivalency, because if you say you did work for me and you produce a contract, then I should pay you if indeed you have signed it and the Beaches and Parks Authority has signed it. I don't know that anyone asked Canoe for the contract from tourism or the Auditor General. Now, that's entirely possible that they didn't have a copy of the contract or they misplaced the contract. When the whole K. Forbes Smith thing is done with the courts, I can tell you something about, if I remember, that particular contract and who could find what. But what I do know is that, and I'm not front for anybody, but Canoe did the most work and got paid the least from what it appears. So Canoe got like 1.2 or 1.3% of the revenue, something like that, of the overall money coming in. And everyone made much more money. But I'd be interested, in fact, I'm going to ask them, Canoe, if they have a contract or not. Because as I said, these are legitimate businesses. They're not going to be like, oh, yeah, we just do willy-nilly, da-da-da. It doesn't work like that. Shouldn't work like that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. No? Give me a different line. This one's not happening. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Mom, what's up, brother?
I'm good, man. How's it going?
I am great, man. I am great.
Right.
So, Mr. McCartney, my question is that to you. You know, I always like ask a question. A question within a question. But so out of all of this, the audited find, the findings, well, as you can see, Canoe and those other entities, they for what I could read and for what I could understand, I don't see nothing better with liable to any, you know, whatever. But with the tourism part of it, where they can't find this and find that, who do you hold accountable? Because I heard you said something a little earlier when you said that you have to pay back this money. We all have to pay back this money.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you hold accountable? So that meaning that when they find these findings with these things and these mismanagement, I don't want to use a certain word on your radio station, but they find where the money ain't there, who is going to be hold accountable? And when I say accountable, I'm not talking bond about, oh, we find this ministry. Who is going to get bring before the court? Because at the end of the day, Mr. McCartney, you got to pay that money. Your children, God spare life for them to live, have to pay that money. We all got to pay this money. And I keep telling people, this is not about no politics. Some of these people need to get off of this ride of politics. At the end of the day, Bahamian people, you got to pay that money. I got to pay that money.
I know, but DeWitt, I think you may be not thinking about this the right. There's no money missing.
Mm.
There just weren't proper checks and balances in place, but the money all eventually came to the Treasury. There was a great delay in it, but no money went missing.
No, I'm not talking about money missing, you know, okay. Mr. McCartney. That's why I said, when I first started off, I said, when I called Canoe and those, I said they're legitimate business, right? What I'm saying to you, why is it that every week in this country that you come on the radio, I think I told it to Dwight, you're finding these findings of this gone, that gone, this happened, this. Who is being accountable, Mr. McCartney?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the government is just continuously saying these things, but nobody is being accountable? That's why people are getting mixed emotions about my party to a point. Because if you find findings, right, and it warrants the investigation by the police department, right, and some cases does. I'm not going to say, well, which case, or you're not going to say which case, but why don't you bring these people before, you know, whoever, so the Bahamian people could see who take their money and who rob them with all the masks.
Right. Yeah,
that's all I'm saying, you know, Vaughn. I don't care about no business, their legitimate business, because I have family members that does business with them. What I'm saying to you, we're speaking in general. When every week we find in this generator, that one, but nothing is coming out of it. Nothing, Mr. McCartney.
I understand.
And that's what a lot of Bahamian people is disgruntled with, and that's what a lot of PLPs are disgruntled with, because they're just talking and no action. Have a good day, brother.
I got you. But at the same time, you know, you got to make sure that you actually have a legitimate case against somebody in order for someone to be taken before the court. But I don't want you to confuse this issue with how the former administration characterized the cabinet that came before it in terms of they just say corrupt. Listen, I don't know who did what. But this issue doesn't show any money went missing. This just shows that proper procedures were not followed. And when you don't follow proper procedure, you open yourself up to a great probability that something will go wrong. And that's just not how we manage our money. Okay? Let me see if I can explain. No, let me not say that. But I'll say this, all right? If someone gives you a check for $10,000 today, right, and you go put it on your regular checking account, not a business account or your regular savings account, right? Hell, if it's a business account, you don't disclose you're dealing with that type of money. The bank's going to call you and be like, where'd you get this money from? You got to come in and show us something. It's for my business account. Bring your business license, right? This sort of thing, right? There are checks and balances in how you deal with money, and the Ministry of Tourism should not be exempt from that, despite what powers the Promotion of Tourism Act or whatever gives the minister. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
A political intrigue. You know, I appreciate this show with you today. I sat and listened to most of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember during the news break, it was said that there was a 6 month period of dubiousness. I can't remember it verbatim, but it was a 6 month period in which there something was not clear. I mean, maybe you could fill me in on that. So, in this 6 month period of dubiousness, right? You see, me personally, I wouldn't dismiss malfeasance because a lot of people made a lot of money during the scamdemic, right? And so a close family member of mine was returning from Michigan, and he had to fill out the health visa. And I remember him telling me something, so this doesn't surprise me, and this months ago, about seeing, a certain people's name who I know is affiliated, involved with these testing companies. You understand me, my brother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't need to call no one name because I don't get off on that. But what I'm saying is, what I do know is, right, like you said, you open up yourself to speculations, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, blind trust is stupidity to me. So maybe if someone delved into this testing situation, we could delve into the cycle threshold in which the positives were received. Because me personally, I'm not believing, you know, 87, see, Mr. McCartney, I'm not believing the statistics on the COVID-19 until global governments decide to have the sincerity to show us the cycle threshold on each test. I don't need to know who the names are because I know it cannot be correct. This is all a monetary construct, man. Have a good day.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Pleasant good afternoon. Can you hear me now, Juan?
I always can hear you. It's the first time you're speaking.
Okay, yeah, I called earlier. That's why I asked, and you weren't able to hear me.
Okay.
Good afternoon to the nation. Look, Juan, I'm listening to what you're expressing as it relates to CT Atlantic, where I want to go. And I'm not ascribing any inconsistencies or any wrongdoing. to CG Atlantic specifically. However, that's not the same casebook and new one.
You're gonna have to stop right there. You're gonna have to stop right there. I'm not navigating that with you. So right when you start there, we gotta talk about proof, brother. Okay? So when you say wrongdoing, and I know you don't like to get cut off and you look at it, I'm not doing any of that. All right? The Auditor General's report is quite clear, and we can discuss what is in the Auditor General's report. I'm not trying to extrapolate any wrongdoing on behalf of any company, because when the lawsuit come, I like y'all, right? I like y'all. I ain't going to court for no one, all right? I ain't going to court for no one except if Norma McCartney and Henry McCartney come back and I need to go deal with something for them. None of y'all. Not no one who work for me or who I'm supervising. Not no one who call this. Nobody. All right? My children too young to go to court. My wife. If my wife do something, I go. That's it. For y'all to flex out and freak out wrong for my head at, we cutting. And it is what it is. Don't get mad. Just know I'm not dealing with no stress from no one who trying to get frisky. Moving forward. Period. All right? Know that. Not even close. I go home, eat my dinner. I ain't got to worry about what happened after no show. That's what level I'm on. From 22 to infinity. Good afternoon. Remember 93 to infinity? Remember that song? This is how we wrote. That was the jam. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Warren.
The dopest beat ever. One of them.
Now, see, I don't mind. I like to know the $24 million, right? If you get value for money, do we get the money's worth for the insurance? Did they put the bid? Was that the best bid or that was the only bid?
You wouldn't know because there were no bids. So you wouldn't know.
Saying, so that's one right there.
That's why you bid.
Remember, you can't catch them these days like that. I could remember now doing PowerPoint administration, now Obi Wilson read it in the hindsight. Not calling nobody's name. The minister transferred $1.6 million to the state. The PS got notified that this company never worked for us before. And she hired a private investigator to investigate. The company was just founded, one employee. And the minister's father sent another $1.6 million. But the PS rent the Papa. And Papa blocked the deal. See, that's how they do it now. Slick. So let's say it doesn't go through. We lost $3 million. Or we really lost $1.6. That particular minister got away.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No. The wisdom in hindsight of that transaction. Now, that particular minister, I was shocked of what he did. It was beneath him, but he did it. Transfer $1.6 million to a company, and they said it was a shell company. And they'll check into that.
Okay. I'm on it. Gotcha. Let me explain something to y'all, right? So let me see how I could say this as clearly as possible without upsetting anyone at all. From the time somebody, lawyer, write you and send you a letter, I don't know what happened because y'all probably don't get these aggressive letters. Then this is why we do this. So I want you to understand because you talk about the average man go through, right? So y'all don't understand what the average media organization would go through, particularly this one, since there's seemed to be a lot of people with like a serious, you know, issue with us functioning, right? So from the time the lawyer writes you the letter, right? Let me help y'all explain what y'all loose talk on your $2 calls is get us, not y'all, because no one trying to sue y'all. When their lawyer writes you the letter, we have to immediately send that to our lawyers. Our lawyers are not free. Okay? They charge by the hour. And a lot of hours go into writing lawyers back and forth. That's how lawyers make money, by billable hours. And just one frisky complaint could run you into thousands and thousands of dollars and a lot of time and headache and uncomfortable questions and research and background. Just off y'all running out on the radio. Because y'all ain't impacted. But when the hammer fall and people's got to go home and ain't no Guardian radio, y'all gonna be right there shooting the breeze. So don't bring me your stress. Don't bring me your defamation. Don't bring me your slander. I don't have enough of it. I'm not dealing with any of it. Be guided accordingly or do not call this station. Not me. Not me. Don't call. Don't call Guardian Radio. It's 50 radio stations in New Providence. Knock yourself out. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com, visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 for Freeport.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Good day, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. How may I help you today?
Hey, listen, I just heard about you all, man.
Yes, sir. How may I help you, sir?
I hear you all giving out free drinks. And I's a mom with 12 children. I love free drinks.
Well, yes, sir. If you're ordering with Airborne Freight and Cargo Services for the first time, we will be giving you prizes just for shipping with us.
Hold on, wait. What are y'all giving out so?
Well, we're giving away gas vouchers, coupons from various outlets, up to 20% off your shipping fee, and so much more.
Could y'all please stop slamming my door? None of y'all pay no bills inside, you.
Sorry about that, Mom. Hey, y'all is shipped double shoulders because this woman expecting twins again, Dred.
Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. Get rewarded for being a new customer on top of our ready low rates. Call us at 377-0450 or visit us on Facebook at Ship Airborne for more information.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. We're talking about the Auditor General's report on the Bahamas Tourism Health Visa Program. Let me also explain something further to you. The reason we can discuss this is because this was tabled in the House of Assembly. A document tabled by a member of Parliament in the House of Assembly is protected by qualified privilege. Qualified privilege means that courts regularly, unless there's a constitutional violation, do not examine the proceedings of the House of Assembly. Okay? So what is reported in the House of Assembly, we can say. The only time we would ever be reticent to publish something that was said in the House of Assembly is if the Speaker of the House or the person who said it has it stricken from the record or withdraws it. That means that it no longer appears on the written record of the House of Assembly. So if there is a court matter, you have nothing official that is protected by privilege from the House of Assembly to defend what you've published. All right? I know that's a lot to absorb, but it seems I have to say it over and over and over and over and over again for people to understand where we are. I know I sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but this is hell. How long have we been doing this now? 7 years this is? Is it seven? Something like this, right? 7 years or so I've been doing this, and a lot of people still don't get it. And they think I'm just protecting the white man or something crazy like that. I don't know what it is. I'm protecting all the black men who work here and women who need this place for their livelihoods. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon. Mr. McCarthy.
Hey, how's it going?
Was this contract that we're talking about, or these contracts, were they done under the emergency powers when we had emergency powers?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi, yes. Yes, they were. Yes.
So then why would the Auditor General ask questions? Because he has no authority. Because the sole commander in chief then became the prime minister. He was sole commander in chief.
No man who tell you that the Auditor General don't have no authority to do his job.
Under the law, under the Emergency Act.
No, sir. Under the Emergency Powers Act, you could do certain things. Like you could suspend normal procurement procedures, which it appears the government did a lot of. However, you still have a duty to report to Parliament who got contracts, how much the contracts were, and the beneficial ownership should also be reported.
Yeah, but the Auditor General couldn't get that.
No, that don't stop the Auditor General from getting it. No.
Well,
if you don't give it to the Auditor General, then you're involved.
When he asked for the listing of all the owners of the companies that got these contracts.
They didn't give it to
him. They never got it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay? So, obviously, would the Prime Minister tell them, boy, I don't have to answer any question. I did what I did under the law.
But
that isn't why I'm concerned about this matter.
Go ahead.
In 2017, there was a bunch of talk around here about the Christie administration stole the WAC money. Right?
Yes.
And everybody got that in their mouth. A whole government got kicked out because people believed the story that Christie stole the WAC money.
Yep.
And on the back of that is, anyone who knows how the government monies are done, it has to go into the consolidated fund.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying now is that how could we make an arrangement without documentation with a company to hold on to the government money
in your
private account?
Yeah, you shouldn't. I agree.
Okay, so this is the hypocrisy in this country is unbelievable to me.
Right.
Okay, and I hear on every radio station and every show in this country during that period how they talked about how the Christie administration stole the WAC money. I know it wasn't true. And to this day, I've not heard one of my radio talk show hosts apologize to Mr. Christie for lambasting his name and his administration name. But today,
well,
which
talk show host said the Christie administration stole that money? Wasn't me.
I didn't say they. I said they allow it to happen.
But how much? I must apologize for somebody else saying something?
Well, I heard it on your show, too. I hear people call on your show and say the VAT money was stolen.
Boy, I never co-signed that, I can tell you that much. It wouldn't make sense. I know that ain't no VAT money was stolen. Now, whether the VAT money was properly accounted for, whether the VAT money was used for what you said it was going to be used for, those were questions that were raised, that I raised anyway. But I know, but no stealing. I ain't
all I'm
stealing.
Saying is, it appears to me in this town that, like I heard on one of your shows this morning, the policeman goes to court, his name even there on the docket.
Yeah, that was weird, yeah.
Okay? The PLP got accused of stealing the WAC money, and everybody jumped on that like it was true. And knowing it wasn't true. But the F of them proved, it is proof in the front of your eyes. You said it all day today. You cannot do business without contract. Signed contract. Suppose the canoe fellas decided, well, I got $34 million. I ain't paying nobody, and I keeping this money. What you could do about it?
If the canoe nothing. People decided not to give the government the money?
They couldn't do nothing because they had no written contract.
But that didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. Thank God it didn't happen. But I'm saying if it happened, the government would have been stuck and couldn't do nothing about it.
Okay.
All right? So we have to be careful around here when we blaming people and blaming.
I understand. Oh. I understand what you're saying.
All right.
Okay. That's it's a long, long road. You're walking to tie that together, but okay. Okay. I'm going to be real with you. I'm not sure I understand what canoe does at this point. Canoe doesn't need a bank, right? Isn't canoe approved to use funds? Right? Yeah, they say he's comparing apples and oranges. Yeah, absolutely. It's apples and oranges. All right. Because I don't... Who? Canoe? Oh, great. Okay, good. Let's ask Canoe. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. Keith Davies here.
Oh, hey, Canoe. Keith. Hey, great.
How you doing, man?
I'm great. Maybe you can help me understand what's happening. So,
let me jump in before I know, because I know, Juan, you have like a million questions.
Right.
I listened to parts of the show today, but the thing is that, you know, the report has come out. Thank goodness it's come out. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that I can confidently say that we said, how many months ago now? Nothing untoward. Everything was done above board and was transparent.
A while ago, last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's nothing. As far as we're concerned, there's nothing new here. I think that at the end of the day, we want to, help the Auditor General with his report, because there's some gaps in their knowledge and understanding. And there's also the one thing that I really want to make clear is that there's a difference between what we do and what people think that we did as it relates to our services. We're a digital payment service provider. So when you establish an account with Canoe, you don't open a bank account. You establish a digital account with us. That's a Canoe account. And so we receive written approval. Everything we do is written. It's supported by instruction. It's supported by all of the policies and procedures that we have to follow as a licensee of the central bank. So we couldn't even do what we did unless we followed our processes and procedures, which are in accordance with the law from our standpoint. So we did that. And so what you can expect from us, Juan, is a reply. We're going to write it down.
Okay.
Very orderly. There's no need to jump up and down here, because like I said, there's nothing new here. We just fill in some gaps and provide people with information about what we did, why we did it, and when we did it.
I understand. So, and that's great, and I'm glad you called in. And we did have this discussion last year when the thing first came up. So my question to you is this. The Auditor General says that the Ministry of Tourism could not produce a contract with Canoe. Did Canoe have a contract with the Ministry of Tourism to provide this service?
What I'm going to do is the answer is we have an agreement and we have a contract. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to lay out exactly how that came about, the dates, times, and information, and that's all. I think that the one thing that I cannot do one is speak for the internal processes of a customer of ours. Because whether, and this another thing people need to understand, whether you process 1 cent or $1 billion through us, as far as we're concerned, it's a digital transaction.
Yeah, it's protected information.
It doesn't cause a bigger, pushing $1 billion digital transaction doesn't cause a bigger blip than pushing 1 cent.
Right.
And so as far as we're concerned, we're deaf, dumb, and blind as it relates to what transfers across the platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's initiated by an individual. They get an acceptance. They get a rejection. When it's time to move money, we get an instruction, do the following, to which we follow. We do not do anything outside of that. And I think that given that there's a report, we can respond to it. But I want our customers and our merchants to know that, including the government of the Bahamas through the Ministry of Tourism and others, that we do not release information that is private and confidential unless given the authority to do so. And that is a requirement of law. It's also something that we follow as our best practices as well.
Right. I got just a couple more questions if you got humor me for a few more minutes here, Keith. My question is this. Did anyone from the Auditor General's office or tourism contact you during this audit? Canoe?
I was not contacted. I knew that this was being done. I knew that there was some analysis and being done. But I was not contacted in any form of capacity to answer any questions.
Okay. My next question would be, why does Canoe need to have a bank account at BOB with the Ministry of Tourism?
Good question. Excellent question. And remove Ministry of Tourism from the equation.
Okay. Why does Canoe have a bank account at BOB?
Let me explain. Canoe is a digital payment service provider holding a license to perform those services. By law, we are required to maintain an account at a commercial bank licensed by the Central Bank of the Bahamas.
Mm.
Therefore, any transactions of fiat, that's physical cash, that transfers in through or around our system must be and deposited and remain in a licensee of the Central Bank. That is by law.
Okay.
So when people say why, well, that's why I would wish the Auditor General and others, please read the act and see what we're required to do, and we follow those to the letter.
So you had to have that bank account in order to legally...
It is a requirement of our license.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, and so like I said, this is a wonderful for us. And I always take this view. It's a teaching opportunity. Anytime something happens, you use it as an opportunity to... I have an acronym that I use in the organization. It's called LEAD. When something goes wrong, you learn what's happened. You educate, you analyze, and then you deliver. And right now we're educating as part of that leading principle. So that's our organization. That's what we're trying to do, to let people understand. And by the way, don't just put Canoe there. Mm-hmm. All of the persons in this space, that's what they do. When you hold a merchant account to perform credit card transactions, guess where the money goes? It goes to a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And it flows into the account where you designate. So this is part of people understanding how the banking system works. I heard you... A couple of weeks ago, you said that you're going to like do a few series about how the banking system works. You talked about currency and all of that.
Yeah, how the Bahamas work.
People need to understand how these things work. And then, once they understand that, they should apply it. But we do this for hundreds of other merchants through our platform in a similar manner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no different. Like I said, remove the government, remove Ministry of Tourism from the equation.
Right.
And this is something that we do for all of our merchants. And it is in keeping with the rules and the laws that we subscribe to.
So I've got a question, one more question for you, and I know we're running out of time here, and I know you said you're going to send a statement. I'm just wondering what role, if any, Canoe played in this. So the Auditor General said that there were delays, significant delays, and having net revenue transferred to the consolidated fund. Was that Canoe's job, or was that somebody else's job?
Again, Remember I said, the first canoe is with death, stomach, but we don't see, hear, or feel anything. We are told what to do. So in this instance, when a merchant has funds in their digital account, we are given instructions which must be written. And then there's a process by which the funds are moved. Once we receive written authorization, funds are moved. But the account does not belong to us. By law, again, any funds held by us on behalf of a merchant does not belong to Canoe. We have no capacity to touch those funds on the penalty of law unless and until we are authorized and directed to move it. So to the extent that something was moved on the 15th and not the 1st, it was moved on the 15th because we were told to move it on the 15th.
I see. So if I could drill it down, you're saying that any delay would have been because of delay in instruction.
So, for my lens, you call it a delay. I call it, I've been instructed on this day to do X, Y, and I'm doing it. Now, right. whether the merchant...
The Auditor General said it was not transferred to consolidated fund on a timely basis. I don't know what else to call it but delay.
Well, it's a delay. It's not a canoe delay.
Okay, fair enough. And that's what I was asking.
Canoe acts on instruction. So if you tell me, if McCarthy Incorporated has a canoe account, McCarthy Incorporated tells me when to move, here's money.
I understand. Totally. I get it. Okay. So you're going to send a statement today?
We are working on it. Time is not something we're rushing to. Accuracy is what we're seeking to achieve.
Okay. I appreciate you, Keith Davies, very much. And we look forward to the statement from Canoe.
Yep, and we provide this to hundreds, and we look to do it for thousands. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Keith. I got a Canoe account myself, so it works for me. I get what he's saying about instruction. And don't ask me for anything. I got a balance left on a balance of excess money I had left anyway. I think I instructed them to do something with it. I can't remember. At Kelly's, remember when I had the toy drive? So I had a few $100 come in, like, after the fact, and I didn't spend all the money. And Kelly's has been calling me for a year to say, man, come spend the money. Come move. And I go, just give it to somebody. And they go, no, you have to come do it. So I kind of get it. All right. So let me see. Jesus, this is a lot of text. All right, I'm going to start from the bottom. Then we're going to leave. It says, Juan, you're not reporting things correctly. The contract was formed, but not in a timely manner. Man, I ain't made nothing up. I just read for you what the audit was. Juan says, talk to Terrence Bastien. This says, this is very important. Also, you can exchange directives to a merchant without making a contract. That's how they would know what to do. I don't know, man. You're like kind of messing the two, merging the two things together. I'm not saying that they didn't do certain things, such as transferring money because there was no contract. That requires instruction, as Keith Davies just said. I'm saying the Auditor General said they didn't have contracts in place when the work began, which is not according to best practices of the government of the Bahamas. Not Juan, right? Juan ain't the Auditor General. Terrence Bastien's the Auditor General. That's what he says. Take up your issue with him. He says it shouldn't happen. This says, okay. And I'm glad that Canoe called, because you do have to, and I don't know where the other call was going about the Christie administration and this thing, but you do, as a company, have to protect your professional reputation. And again, as I said, these companies aren't getting into business with the government to deal in darkness. They're getting in business with the government because it's a legit business opportunity. He says, I know this has nothing to do with your subject matter, so then I'm not going to read it. This says, the Ministry of Tourism is the most data-driven ministry. They were probably more equipped than the Ministry of Health to manage data. The government does own BOB. Just follow the money, I would say. Just an observation. One of you charge $10 per car to cross the bridge. I can park my car on Potoski Dock and swim across. Is the sun too hot to do a round trip on the bridge? Oh, but okay. This is asking me if I'll forward this to myself. I'll try to contact you today, if that's at all possible. All right, there we go. This says, under the aegis of full transparency and accountability mantras, no such lucrative health travel visa should have been awarded without a contract, no matter the urgency, no excuse. This is one, they were, the more longer you hold the money, the more interest you generate. Again, as he said, they don't touch the money until they tell them to touch it. It says this is incompetence on behalf of the Ministry of Tourism. Well, we got D'Aguilar was speaking in the Tribune about the pressure they're under. One, it is sad that Chester Cooper seems a bit cool in his response to the health visa saga. I'm hopeful that Cooper and the PLP are not operating in the same manner. Who has the contract to build these new government homes? What process did BBL go through to select its distribution partner? I pray the PLP is learning from this and ensuring that all these contracts being issued now are going through the proper procedures. Now, we don't have time for a call. Any more calls? Sorry. It's always tomorrow. Actually, there's not tomorrow. So we'll be talking with Chef Simeon Hall Jr. tomorrow. There are these awesome, like, YouTube videos about food in the Bahamas, and then they had one about Haitian food in the Bahamas. It was pretty great. We're going to be talking about food. Talk about food tomorrow. Leave your stress at home. Bring food. I don't know, man. He said he was going to bring hot dog sauce. I don't want none of that, bro. You want hot dog sauce? Come on. Put it together, man. It's hot dogs. And come on. Let's boil hot dog. It's hot dog water. With some allspice and some bay leaf. Some... I ain't no sauce. You make that for me, we got a problem. Anyway, we're out of time. All right, sorry I couldn't get to all of you. Actually, this is actually very important. I'll do this in the last 60 seconds with this guy's saying here. He says, what was the value of all that user data collected? Ask Zuckerberg, and it's probably millions of dollars. User data and demographics info is gold, and he's right, or she is right. That's why I say I don't have an issue, per se, with the health visa program, because of how much good data you're going to get to directly market the Bahamas to all these people who have filled this information out. All right? You can now direct market right to these people who you know already have an interest in coming to the Bahamas, and ask them to refer to the friends and other people like that. You can get direct feedback about their experience in the Bahamas, right? And they have to give you their information before they come. It's not voluntary. Anyway, we got to go. We didn't get to all of it, and it kind of is what it is. But we are going to await the response from Canoe, and then go from there. All right. That's going to be it for the show today. Thanks very much. You can check out more of the Auditor General's report in the Guardian, National Section and Business Section. ZLive Off the Record is up next. Ask Lang about it. Maybe he'll explain to us why the Auditor General should not be concerned? I don't know. He is. It ain't Juan saying it. It's the Auditor General. Not Juan. All right? Take it up with the constitutionally appointed post of Auditor General. Not Juan. He's saying it shouldn't happen. D'Aguilar saying we had to bend some rules in order to make it happen. We're out of here. You guys take care. Have a great day, Bahamas.